Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening, and welcome to the show, which is fantastic. It's Thursday evening or afternoon, wherever you are in the world. And we're here this evening talking about the laws of higher awareness. But I just wanted to give Matthew a quick chance to say howdy and welcome to the show before we start.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I hope you're all well, or good afternoon, depending on where you're listening from. Really looking forward to this show. It really takes things into a new depth. So, yeah, really eager to get cracking on this one. So.
Right. So basically, I mean, I know the over the last few weeks we've talked about the basic laws of life and the laws of creation. So we wanted to delve in a little bit deeper to the higher laws of awareness. And, you know, our souls, the higher aspect of us, holds all of our experiences in the journey in many different planes of existence. And part of the soul, which is the personality set, part of the personality self, is sent to Earth to learn. While your soul or higher self knows that you are a spiritual being in a human body or on a bodysuit, the lower aspect or personality, and our task to remember who we really are, huge spiritual beings. But many people are in soul sleep and unaware that they are spiritual beings. And the higher self is constantly sending us difficulties and pain, which are basically wake-up calls to set them seeking and searching for the truth. And the laws of higher awareness helps us get to grips with the next level of evolution. And it includes, and I'm just going to list these off here, it includes the law of balance and polarity, the law of karma, the law of reincarnation, the law of responsibility, the law of discrimination, the law of affirmation, the law of prayer, the law of meditation, and the law of challenge. So these are some of the subjects that, you know, Matthew and I will be discussing over the next hour. And hopefully you will gain some clarity around these. And I just wanted to reiterate, this is not original work from Acorn to Woke. It's not original work from myself or Matthew. We have both learnt these laws, and it was very much Diana Cooper, and I want to give her absolute credit for coming up with these laws of creation. And, you know, one of the things for me that when I first started to read some of her work was the clarity that it brings you. And it also gives you an amazing framework in which you learn to play the game of life. And as you learn to play the game of life, you realize the hilarity and the fun and the joy and the spontaneity that can be had when you know the laws of creation. Because when you know them, you can play within the framework. And, you know, very much for me, when I first started reading some of Diane's stuff, was it just gave clarity to something that we hadn't had clarity around before. Although some of the religious and spiritual texts talked about it in vagueness, should I say, they weren't very specific. And one of the things I loved about Diane's work is that it's very specific and it gives you guidelines. And once you realize that, you know, she basically obviously channeled this stuff, and they're 100% the truth, I can guarantee you, because I've been using this for the last 35 years of my life, and it's helped turn my life around. So I just wanted to give, bring Matthew in on this and get his take on it.
Yeah, what was coming in for me is, it's like, you know, when somebody writes something that's just so spot on, and it's just, you could, I wouldn't want to just rewrite it or try and add anything to it, because it's so spot on, and it's something that, yeah, I've used in my life, and it does make a huge difference. And when you were talking about the higher self and spiritual sort of life, we forget that we're spirit having a human experience, rather than we think we're humans having a spiritual experience. And the higher self knows that, but the conscious mind doesn't. And I think that's what keeps a lot of people asleep, is not knowing that. But yeah, I mean, the laws that I've used in my life, I mean, I remember, again, giving Diane Cooper credit, I hadn't read a book for a good couple of years before I picked up A Little Light on Spiritual Laws. And it was sort of like the first book in a couple of years that I literally read cover to cover, and I didn't do anything else. I was literally glued to this book. And it is so factual, and it gives you so many guidelines, as we've said many times. It's like, if you know the spiritual laws, then you've got your guideline for where you can play and have fun, and also request things from the universe. Because again, that's one thing that a lot of people forget, is actually that if we're spiritual people having a spirit having an experience here, then we can manifest anything we wish. We can have any experience that we wish to have. We forget the power we hold. And I find by using these laws, it is like a template on very much go out and try it. And I wouldn't say try it by breaking the law and seeing what you get back, but very much try it out. Test what we're saying, because it really works, and it can make a huge difference in your life. When some things feel personal, actually they're not personal at all. It's just maybe you're not gaining clarity around the lesson, i.e. what the universe is trying to tell you or show you. But when you have the knowledge around that framework and what the laws actually mean, and that everything is can be a sign and it can be a lesson, then actually life becomes more fun. And hard situations, I think, actually can be very refreshing.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And, you know, the first law that we'll be talking about is the law of balance and polarity. And, you know, one of the things that it always reminds me of is when, you know, and I have a 2.5-year-old son. So my 2.5-year-old son loves to swing. He thinks swinging is the best thing ever. So when we go to the park and he gets on the swing and he's swinging to and fro. And, you know, at the beginning, it takes a little bit of effort to get the swinging moving, but then you're swinging forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards. And this is, you know, the law of balance and polarity. You know, you're swinging forwards and backwards, and then after a while, you know, when you've taken it to the nth degree, you go back into balance and you start allowing it to come back into balance, and you become more, you know, balanced in the movement. And, you know, that's the law of balance and polarity, you know. Yeah, if you have lifetimes where you've been extremely rich, the law of balance and polarity will give you a lifetime where you're not necessarily rich. You know, and it may well be, you know, you have a life of poverty, and it may well be that that's the lifetime that you're living now, but we don't realize it. And we don't take action to change what, you know, what the universe is putting onto our plate at the time. And it may well be that you've had lifetimes in the past where you've been the tyrant. And this lifetime, you're balancing out, you know, a universal law, and you're a victim. And, you know, so we tend to rile against sometimes what the universe seems to be offering us or putting on our plate. And don't get me wrong, you can change anything if you have the right attitude. It's just looking at it and going, sometimes we feel like we've been dealt a tough hand. And we haven't, you know, and it, life is being done to us, instead of realizing that, you know, and we'll go on and talk about this a little bit more when we hit the law of reincarnation. But we think this is the only lifetime that we live. And, you know, I don't want to blur the lines, but, you know, again, it's always, you know, the universe never takes things and puts them into compartments. It's free flowing all the time. So, yes, you know, we have had hundreds of thousands of lifetimes. We have been everything. And we have done everything. We have been the perpetrator. We have been the victim. We have, you know, been the murderer. And we have been the person who's been murdered. All of these things have happened. And I would just say to you right here, right now, you wouldn't be listening to this radio show if you weren't in the last 100 lifetimes that you're likely to have. And you've had millions, by the way. We've played down here for a long, long time. So I just, again, just wanted to give Matthew a chance to give his take on the law of balance and polarity.
Yeah, I think it really interesting points. And it, for me, it comes down to, again, using the laws and understanding the laws. And really applying them, because one for me that sort of really came up was around sort of loving myself. And when I was going through that stage, one thing I was working through is just how much I sort of judge people on lots of different things. And it wasn't necessarily me being a nasty person, it was just realizing how much we get into this pattern. And it was something someone said to me one day, and that was, it's so, if we're reincarnated lots of times, if everybody moans about it's all right for the rich, well, what if the 1% of the population that holds all the wealth, if everyone's always saying, oh, it's lucky for them, they could have lived 50,000 lifetimes of pure poverty. And this one lifetime that we're seeing them in here and now is their payoff sort of thing. And it really brought home to me that, like, we think we know, but actually it's only really when, and we'll be going into some of the other laws as well, which really helped me really get to grips and realize how real these laws are. And that's law of meditation, because when you go inside and you find that peace and that balance, you realize the truth, and that is that there is something a lot bigger than we're aware of when we're in our conscious minds. But if you can create that balance within your life, and you can magnetize things to you, life becomes a game, and it's just understanding that we're actually more than just a human, far from it. It is just the meat suit of this lifetime that we're in right here, right now. And yeah, I mean, some of the real deep work I've done has really, again, when you look at the times in between when you're doing your personal development and you think, oh, well, that situation keeps happening, and it's just the universe trying to get you to really understand. And when you, again, I'm going to say again, when you play within the boundaries of the universe and what's right, life just transforms. Even just from the little things, I know we've mentioned it in previous shows, but it's engaging more with people around you and sort of making more of an effort to know your neighbours and speak to people, because you find the more love, joy and happiness you can bring into your life, the more you'll find will come in. And it's the same with anything. It's finances, whatever it be. Again, it's important to remember that you're only living this life as this person consciously for as long as you're going to last in this lifetime. So don't be afraid of being who you are and living your best life. But I highly recommend doing it in the right way, and living by the laws and doing more research into them.
It's definitely always good to do more research and begin to get a understanding. You know, we're going into a break, so we'll see you after the break, and we'll start talking about the other laws.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
So So, hi, back from the break. And we were talking about the obviously the laws of higher awareness. And the next law I really want to cover for you guys is the law of karma, because there's so much written in conflicting ways about the law of karma. You know, karma is as you give, so you receive. It's an exact science, the law of karma. You know, what you give out, you get back. And if you don't get it back straight away, it may take a little bit longer to get back to you, but it will come. So, you know, if you rip somebody off, you know, in business or in your private life, at some stage you're going to get ripped off yourself. And people look at the law of karma and go, oh, you know, I'll dodge it. You never dodge karma. It will always come back at you. So, you know, if you give out loving thoughts, you're going to get loving thoughts sent back to you. If you give out anger and hate, which are really damaging energies, you're going to have those returned to you in some way or other. You know, one of the things that we forget is your family is your karma. How you were brought up is your karma. You know, your soul chooses its family before it's born. So if you have difficult family ties, you know, this may well be a consequence of some unresolved things from a past life. And, you know, we just need to look at it and go, well, that's interesting. And we need, you know, part of the law of karma is looking at how we, what we have done in the past. And, you know, for want of another way of putting it, take it on the chin, you know, when something is returns to us. Because it is through our own actions that the reaction comes from the universe. And it's quite tough, you know, as somebody quite rightly said, you know, karma's a bitch and then you die. You know, it can be quite harsh, or it can feel quite harsh, but you are only getting back what you have given out. So, you know, as I said, the law of karma, I tend to put it hand in hand with the law of reincarnation, because the law of karma didn't make much sense to me until I actually understood the law of reincarnation and realized that we had come back time and time again. And, you know, again, a lot of different conflicting theories are talked about when we talk about reincarnation. But, you know, I'm a student of Paramahansa Yogananda, and, you know, he wrote the autobiography of a yogi, and he was the head of the Self-Realization Fellowship. So I did a lot of research around this within his teachings. And, you know, we started off at very, very low vibration. So we started off for a few incarnations, and it may have been many incarnations, may have been thousands of years, as mountains. And we went from mountains to be going into the plant kingdom. From the plant kingdom, we went into the animal kingdom, from the animal and insects, and all right the way through. So if I miss one, please know I've just missed it, because I'm not necessarily perfect myself. And then as we grew more complex in energy, we went into human form. And from human form, you know, we started off in kindergarten, and we've gone right the way through up to PhD level. And as I said earlier on, if you're listening to this radio show, then I would suggest you're in PhD level right here, right now, because you're interested and you're really wanting to understand more complex energetic theory. And so, you know, when you actually look at that and you look at the law of karma and the law of reincarnation in conjunction with each other, you realize how complex the whole energetic equation is. So again, handing back to Matthew to get him to talk about the law of karma and the law of reincarnation.
Yeah, I think for me, along my journey, it was very much I used to be quite all about the senses. So if I could see it, taste it, or hear it, then I'd believe it. And what I loved about the system with the SRF in the lesson form is it's a scientific way of how spirituality works, would be my best description. And when they explain things, I love the way it's sort of almost left open for you to go and discover. It's suggested that you go and try it for yourself, because ultimately that's what gives you the feeling and the knowledge that these things are actually true. And for me, the law of karma, when I started learning about it, I was sort of well into my breathwork journey. And I remember saying to Penny, I've got a burning taste in my mouth. And it was like a smell and a taste. And that was burning karma. Because this is what a lot of people don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff written about karma that I've read before, that you're sort of doomed, and it's your karma, so lay down and take it. And that for me was kind of like, actually, no, that's so untrue. Because yes, we can have karma, but actually, if you do certain work, breath for life, breath work being one of them, you can actually burn karma off. And when Penny was saying about when things come back later on, it's like high vibration travels at the speed of light. So if you do good, because it's of a high vibration, you'll find it comes back quick. So if you find in your life that things generally are really flowing and sort of your days just go well, and you find yourself saying to yourself, oh, I'm so lucky, that's generally when you are doing well. But the thing with karma is sometimes we can be in the flow and something comes back, something comes in, and we think, oh, where did that come from? Well, I've been doing really good and that sort of thing. But it's remembering and it can be even just insulting somebody when you shouldn't have, really. There was sort of no need for it. And it's like sludge sort of travels at the speed of sludge. So you could have done that action 6 months ago, and then suddenly whack, someone does the same to you, and you think, oh, I didn't deserve what that person said to me. And then you think back and it's kind of like, I've said that to people before and that felt horrible. And it's almost like karma comes back around to just give you a whack and a little lesson and say, did you get why that happened? And I had lots of these in my life, but it was learning not to get too hooked up on it. I think there's a lot of conspiracy out there, and it leads to further disconnection from the truth. And that's again why I like Diane Cooper's stuff, and especially the stuff from the SRF, because it's the clarity and the truth in it. That it's that simple genius.
I think also it reminds you of the other laws, the laws of responsibility, and realizing that, you know, with knowledge, with greater knowledge comes greater responsibility. And you know, we talk about taking absolute responsibility for all areas of your life. And you know, again, so you know, very quickly moving on to also using the law of discrimination. Just because somebody tells you you need to do something You know, you can take that on board as advice, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't look at it and go, is this the best choice for me? I.e. the law of discrimination, is this going to be helpful or healthy for me to do right here, right now? And it may look like a real good opportunity, but you do need to take responsibility and weigh up your options. And looking at whether it's a good project to do right here, right now, or maybe it's not the right time and you'll look at it again in 6 months' time. Because again, you know, we tend to look at things that are labelled as spiritual and think we need to dive headfirst into it because we are spiritual beings, and that's not necessarily the truth, and it's not necessarily the truth for you right here, right now. And that's why it's really important to use the law of discrimination and go, does it resonate with me? Is it something that my heart feels that I need to go for right here, right now? And you know, we've all heard lots of things in obviously from The Secret about the law of affirmation, and we've talked about the law of affirmation before on some of our earlier shows. And you know, looking at affirming, you know, to make firm something that is an intention that or a goal that you would like to achieve. It's, you know, it's really important. And some of Diana Cooper's work on the law of affirmation is it's well worth a read, because she takes it into a much bigger context than just The Secret. And it's interesting stuff. And looking, you know, obviously part of the law of affirmation is very much looking at the law of prayer and the law of meditation, because, you know, if we are using grace, we're affirming grace to actually bring in something that we would like to manifest. You know, if we were praying, we would pray in a certain way. We would take things to the divine, God, you know, higher self, the source, whatever makes sense for you, whatever is in your frame of reference. And actually turn around and say, you know, please could I be provided with this? It would be really helpful. You know, we don't go to the divine, the source, or however you want to say it, begging and pleading, please give me this, you know, you just give me this, or bargaining, I'll just give you that, or I really promise that I'm going to be good from now on, and I'm not going to rip anybody else off, or, you know, nothing ever is going to happen, if just give me this is what I want. And, you know, we've done shows before on the power of language. And, you know, I must have suggested get rid of the word want, because, you know, it will leave you wanting. If we take a sincere prayer to the divine is Mother, Father, God. They are going to provide you with whatever it is that you have asked for, whether that be to your highest will and good or not. They will respond. But you do need to ask, you know, you do need to ask for what you would like to receive. You know, some of us have these conversations in our head, but we never actually formally ask for it. We just go, well, you know, God should know me by now, so, or the divine should know me by now, so I'll just get what I need. Not unless you ask. That's really the crux of the matter. And if you ask in prayer, then you will receive it. It may not be in what is your personal time frame, but you will receive it.
Yep.
Okay. And, you know, again, I just want, obviously, Matthew to be able to put his two penneth worth on those laws as well. So just handing over to Matthew to see what his ideas are.
Yeah, I think it's really important to remember here when we're talking about these laws, you've got to look at, as Penny was just mentioning, the language you use, because the verse doesn't necessarily hear the nots and the wants and the wills in the way that you would like it to or you would prefer it to. So if you say, oh, well, I don't want this and I don't want that, and you're ultimately going to get what you don't want because that's what you're asking for. So it's using preferences, and also when requesting things, I would like to manifest the perfect new home to live in, for everybody's highest will and good, or better. And that way you're putting out a request for something, but you're hoping it's in everybody's best interest. And that's when you find that things just come in quickly and work easily, because you've asked for something and the intention's pure. So of course the request is going to be met. But if there's some attachment or something behind it that you're not aware of, that's not sort of imbalance, again going back to imbalance and polarity with everybody's highest will and good, then it's maybe going to either take a lot longer to manifest, or it may not even manifest at all. So it's being very specific with the language you use and how you ask for things, and also realizing how many hours a day would you say you spend worrying? Is it one over the day? Is it two? Is it three? Some people actually, when I looked into it, when I first did this, I think I was probably about 4 to 5 hours a day where I thought, well, yeah, there's time in the morning and time at break times I'm worrying about stuff, and then at lunchtime I'm going through stuff when I'm having lunch. And it's kind of, I didn't realise just how much time I was spending worrying about various different things and the outcomes. And I can't remember whose quote it was, but it's, worrying is like praying for what you don't want. And it's so true. Because if you're sitting there worrying about what could happen, guess what's going to happen? Exactly what you've been worrying about. And it's, again, because the universe doesn't necessarily hear the negative. And it's stating your preference rather than sort of worrying about sort of the situation or whatever it is.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on?
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
So, letting Matthew get back to what he was talking about before.
Yeah. So I was just going and saying, so when requesting things, just be very mindful, because the universe doesn't hear the negative. And this is something that some of these little tips we're giving you, these are things that are tried and tested in my own life. And it's sometimes before you realize about all these laws, life's easy because you don't have to pay attention and distraction's real easy. But when you start living this life, it's kind of, you live by those laws and you have to be on it. And it is a path to improvement. So the universe is going to be ever generous with the lessons. This is one that made such a difference in my life, just looking into language and how I was asking for things. And a big one for me at first was sort of thinking, well, I can't ask for it. I felt sort of bad. But going back to the reincarnation, if you've been that starving child, and you've been the homeless person, if you've lived that lifestyle, if you have wealth in this lifetime, whether it's sort of money or happiness, and to be honest, my preference for that would be happiness, it's enjoy it. Don't feel guilty. It's good to help, but a lot of people get stuck in the guilt. It's just remember, be real specific on what you ask for. So I know there's lots of funny stories about it, but one of the other sort of things that I found that really heightened my manifestation. And the monkey mind, as we would call it in the UK, which is the worrying, oh, what if this, what if that, just calming that down, as I said earlier in the show, was meditation. Because it took me a while when I first started learning, and it probably, I would say, took me a good year to truly feel and discover what people really meant when they were talking about meditation. And it's not being guided, it's not visualizing, it's not listening to somebody while you're meditating. It's personally, the way I've learned is to do some energization exercises first, which just relaxes the body and puts that into rest more. And then chanting, because again, it's good for keeping the conscious mind busy, and it just helps you get into that space. And then very much, it's all about connection. It's all about you and the universe, or God, or whatever your frame of reference is. And it was, like I say, it was probably a good year of I probably wasn't that hot on it straight away, but a couple of times a week. And never really understood when Penny would say, oh, when you hit that peace, when you feel that ever new joy and that ever new bliss, and you feel that connection, there's nothing like it. And I never understood what Penny meant until one meditation in the morning. I've just hit it. And within that space of peace and bliss, that's also where you find the truth. And again, it backs up the laws that obviously Diane Cooper has written and a lot of other people have written over time. And that's when you can really gain that understanding of what we're really here and what we're really all about. And it's very much about going within. If you don't go within, you're going to go without. So just handing over to Penny, have you got anything to add on the law of meditation?
Well, as you know, and I know you're aware, I could talk about the law of meditation for the next 6 years with no real pause.
You taught me, so I've got to say,
no real pause, because meditation to me is, part of my path with the Self Realization Fellowship. I've been on that path now for nearly 35 years. I meditate twice a day, every day. It is just part of my practice, my natural daily practice. I would be a very anxious person, I think, if I didn't meditate, because the way the world is going right here, right now, is there's so much distraction and noise. And I find that really, if I didn't meditate twice a day, I would find that very, very distracting and actually quite painful, I think. For me, meditation is about perfecting your relationship with the divine. It is about, that when I pray, it's Mother, Father, God, beloved, friend, saints of all religions, and then I go from there. It's very, very much, like we were talking about when we were talking about Love and Light Brigade, and saying about Reiki, like, my Reiki is better than your Reiki. My God is no better than anybody else's God. Your God, or the person that you are praying to or meditating on, so that you can perfect your relationship with that entity that you're actually meditating on, is very, very personal. Your relationship with the divine is very, very personal. Mother, Father, God, beloved, friend, then saints of all religions. It's a very, very personal relationship. And it's one of the things that we forget when we are in the small us. When we're in the small us and we get dragged down by everyday living, fight or flight, survival mode, we forget that it's just 10% of our consciousness. 50% of our consciousness is the super consciousness, which houses the higher self. 50%. And we think that 10% of our conscious mind is in control. 50% is our spiritual self. And when we go up there and reconnect with that 50%, that is ever new joy, ever new bliss, ever new peace, ever personal genius. It's where our genius lies. It's where we are in touch with that enormous spiritual being that we are, and who we are in the context of the universe. So for me, yes, this is the one law that I could go to absolute town on. And, you know, it is, you know, the law of meditation is very scientific. Again, you know, based in science. And if you do the energizing exercises, you relax the physical body, you get the physical body under control, then you go, you chant, and you get the wandering mind under control, you can slip into meditation quite easily, quite quickly, because you have stilled the physical and the mental. And then, you know, in doing that, you also can, you know, you work with the emotional, and you can slip out into the spiritual with ease. So, you know, that's, as I said, I can talk about that particular law for a long, long time. And it's one of those laws for me, which is really, really important. And, you know, the last law that we want to be really talking about is the law of challenge, you know. And the law of challenge is really important at this stage of looking at the laws of higher awareness. Because, you know, if you wish to be awake by a certain time, you set your alarm clock before you go to sleep. But actually, you know, some people wake naturally just before that time, because you've put the intention out, and the law of intention will help you. So you're not jangled and shaken out of sleep. You actually do it quite naturally. Others, you know, keep turning over and over and going back to sleep. Well, you know, that is really, again, it's the law of, you know, once challenged, you know, once I'm awake, the challenge is to actually get up and start the day. And, you know, again, it's really important for us to realise that if we challenge ourselves to something, then we're actually putting a little bit, you know, putting quite a lot of effort into it. And it's like, it's, you know, our spiritual destiny, you know. If we can, you know, if we can allow our spiritual destiny to be gentle and graceful without having to stun ourselves out of sleep, we can actually wake up quite nicely. And it's the same with other challenges. It's when we challenge ourselves to something, you know, again, we may challenge ourselves and say, right, I'm going to run a marathon, you know, in six months' time, because I want to use that 6 months to start training and become prepared. We don't challenge ourselves to run a marathon and say, right, I'm running the next one, and it happens to be next week, because, you know, in the challenge, there has to be preparation. And in the challenge, there has to be looking at the other laws of taking responsibility, looking at preparation. You know, none of these laws are there to work singularly on their own. They're all there to help us be in the flow of life and be in the flow of our energetic heritage. And when I look at, when I talk about energetic heritage, you know, I talk about energy more, I think, than necessarily spirituality, because there's an awful lot of people who will be put off by the word spirituality, but can understand the energetics of something. So, you know, as I've moved through my own career, I've talked a lot about energetics, which is a lot more scientific than the spirituality side of things. But you can guarantee that whenever I'm talking about something energetic, I'm talking about the spiritual side of life. So when you look at the energetic matrix of how this all works, you know, quantum physics will give you the truth. You know, if there's a vacuum, the universe abhors a vacuum and will find something to fill that space with. Now, that could be low vibrational or it could be high vibrational. I would say to you, if you're going to cause a vacuum within self, you want to fill that with high vibrational frequency. And, you know, this is when you look at all of the laws, beginning to work together and beginning to see the totality of the energetic field that surrounds us. Then you understand that when one thing moves, something else will move. And this is when it gets very zen. And, you know, you get sayings like when a butterfly beats its wings and so and so, you cause a tsunami somewhere else. But yet we are all part of the field. We are all part of the energetic field that is in the universe. Therefore, when we take responsibility for learning how to work within that framework that we were talking about, when we're talking about all of the energetic laws, where all the spiritual laws, then you get emotion, which is absolutely awesome, because it's moving and twisting and threading like a wonderful tapestry through the whole of the universe. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week, and I'm sure Matthew, I hope you haven't gone to sleep.
No, thanks for listening. I've been as hooked up as all the people listening, so thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, you take care, guys, and we'll see you next week, and we'll be finishing off with the last of the spiritual laws. So